please like, comment, and subscribe.
Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Tora.
And this is our podcast, Kicking It with Kim and Tora. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Like always, we have three amazing topics, and we're going to just jump right into our first topic of the day,
which is cryptocurrency. You were telling me, Tora, that a lot of the globalists, billionaires are in cryptocurrency now.
Oh my God. Well, they already, like Elon and Warren Buffett and Jamie Dimon, they already had mad stocks, as we all know. That's where a lot of them made their fortune in, you know, real estate. But they also, when the cryptocurrency market came along, they started getting more into it. So from what I'm hearing, they've been selling off a lot of stock, buying up on this cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Doge, Ethereum. They're buying up on all these and blockchains. They're investing in just about everything. And it's like, well, what's going on? You know, because we always know they dictate where the world goes. So what are they not telling? Like, we're finding out little bits and pieces of everything. But because I do own a little bit of, you know, Bitcoin, a little bit of Ethereum, and it is through the roof. Like, it is top dollar right now. And I'm just saying to myself, imagine if our dollar is ready to crash, like the US dollar, because this is a global thing. Like, the rest of the world is already on crypto. Like, we're like probably one of the last people to really get into it because of the value of our dollar is depleting. But they're pulling their money out of everything. And we know what happened the last time that happened. There was a depression. It went right past recession and went straight to depression. So I'm assuming
the depression in the 40s. You're talking about the depression in the 40s.
Yeah.
I have heard that a lot of a number of billionaires have been selling off their stock in their company. Mm-hmm. The articles that I've seen have been talking about them pouring that money into their underground bunkers for whatever they think is coming. But I also am aware that there have been, I won't call them rumors, but claims, over more than a year or so, that the dollar is going to crash. They're pointing to BRICS, that Brazil, Russia, India, China, Africa currency that they have issued. They pointed to the fact that those Arab countries no longer want to use the dollar as the petrol, as the currency for buying oil, which would totally destabilize our dollar. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they've been calling for a crash for like really a couple years, saying that we're going into a crash. I have purchased some Bitcoin in the past, but I'm not a huge investor. I am concerned with the ones that have gone under. Remember that young guy?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's difficult to police and monitor, but we do have to do something because our economy is out of control and the global economy is changing.
So absolutely. But it's, I feel like if you are in the lower end of our economic system, and I don't want to say the word poor, but I have to, so everyone knows what I'm talking about. If you are middle class, if you're considered poor in the United States, I feel like you're going to tank. I feel like they're not even educating them on what's about to happen, what's going on. I feel like they're like, look, we're going to feed y'all. We're going to give y'all some food. But other than the dollar, you're not going to know nothing about it.
They're going to give them some fake processed food, GMO veggies and fruit covered in APL, that toxic crap that Bill Gates is producing that now is apparently.
Did you hear about plastic in food? Like, they're actually using plastic to make, like, come on. And you don't know what is what. They're talking about it looks real. You know, the meat, it looks real. I mean, I just know that... I've been sick lately. Merging into our other topic. I have been just back to back to back sick. Back to back to back memory loss. I'm just tired all the time. Can't get the strength to just do what I want to do because it's so, I don't know. Once you get sick, it just piles on you. And I literally put it out there on social media. And now I'm hearing so many more people saying it can't just be me. It can't.
So what are they talking about? What kind? I'm aware of what kind of sickness you have, which is COVID, that has what morphed into just
coughing all night, so you never get any sleep. Never. As soon as you lay down, the coughing is just unbelievable. You can take cough suppressants, you can take medication, you can take whatever you want. Nothing stops this dry hacking cough.
And I remember your husband got sick around the time you did, so his just smoothed out and you're continuing.
No, he still is very lethargic. He's very tired all the time, and he definitely still has the hacking cough at night also. Definitely.
Remember, I had gotten sick back in December, and it just transferred into a series of different things, excessive phlegm, whatever.
Oh, the phlegm. Ooh, I said to him the other night, when does this stop? Yeah. When does the phlegm stop?
I don't know. Before we leave that other topic, though, I'm going to say this because, you know, I've got to throw out a couple controversial opinions, which I think I have many of them. Mm-hmm. I think that at some point the system is going to crash. And, you know, in my mind, it's not the worst thing in the world. We're in a system where we're just paying bills. We're paying for things we shouldn't be paying for. They're tampering with our food, our air, our water, our everything. Yep. So I think that if it crashes, or when it crashes, it will be difficult. We will be in chaos for a while, but as human beings, we will find our way. We will come out of it and find a way to establish something that is more homegrown, where we're growing food and bartering and figuring things out. So I'm not hastening the crash. I'm not begging for it, but I'm not fearing it either. If it's coming, it's going to be what it's going to be, and we'll figure it out. But back to the sickness.
No, but I'm really glad you circled back to that, because I feel the same way you feel. And I do feel 50-50 about it, because I do feel like the lower portion of our class system will survive, because we've already prepared ourselves pretty much to having nothing. So having nothing and then having nothing taken away from us, what is it going to leave us with? You know, so I do feel like upper middle class
leaves nothing.
Remember? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nothing from nothing leaves absolutely.
You feel the upper middle class what?
I think they're going to survive the best. I really do. I think upper middle class have already known that, you know, you're never going to get rid of your lawyers. You're never going to get rid of your doctors. You're never going to get rid of your scientists. You never, you know, the people, the educational system, I feel like those are considered the upper middle class. You know, the assistance to everything, I feel like, is, you know, people will suffer, you know.
Well, we shall see. It'll be interesting, but, you know, I'm up for whatever. I mean, I figure we're here at this time for a reason, so I'm up for doing whatever it is I need to do.
Oh, yeah.
Put the call out on social media about these illnesses going around.
What
kinds of things have people started saying?
A lot of people under my comments was like, I thought I was the only one. Have you had the fluttering of the heart and they can't breathe? Like all of a sudden you just like gasping for air. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is it. And nothing you read on any of the government sites is telling us. Like literally I've been on there because they put a warning on my TikTok when I didn't even ask for it. I don't even know how that generated on there, but they put a link on there for you to get COVID Noble. Just because I mentioned COVID on my TikTok.
They do that. They do that on YouTube too. They will put some, what they call real information to counteract whatever you're saying, which is just the
company. I mean, it's just my experience. So I don't understand how they can come up with their own analogy of what I'm going through and what people who are saying they're going through the same thing. The constant headaches. Oh my gosh. The headaches are... I finally told myself, Tori, you're going to have to deal with these headaches, because I was popping Advil like Tic Tacs.
Oh, wow.
Like literally just trying to get rid of these headaches that come right after this COVID, this last COVID experience. Now I've had COVID twice.
Okay.
Three times. So this is my third bout. I've had all the shots and I've had all the booster shots. So
you put your video on TikTok?
I did.
I haven't been on there that much, so I didn't realize it, but I watched.
As soon as I came home from Vegas, I was just like, this is unbelievable. Because
I saw that where you put the COVID thing in the green screen background. So that's what you're talking about?
Yeah. I put both of the COVID tests, like to show, like, look, not just one said, But the second one also said, you have, and this COVID was so strong, I literally only put one dot in there and it had already moved into COVID positive. That's why I was like, what is going on?
So anti all of that, claiming that when I initially got sick, I never even did any testing.
You didn't?
No, I'm not taking that. But I, you know, took care of myself with natural remedies and I got fine. But then I started doing stuff too quickly, which bugs me because I should be able to go outside and walk up and down the hills or whatever.
Absolutely. Without
reactivating anything. But I will say that I see my daughter every day. She never got sick. So, I mean, she doesn't live right in my space. Mm-hmm. We're not into any government routine. So okay. We're not going to do any, like, I'm going to take those tests. The only time I would take a test is if I'm traveling and there's COVID restrictions and I want to get the heck up out of this country, then I'll take a test. But other than that, we try to stay away from all of that. But everybody else with you got the boosters and everything too?
Everybody. But there's one of my friends who does not play that. She's never actually been vaccinated by anything. Her family was Muslim and they just didn't do it. They moved out of the country. Soon as she was born, they were like, just to make sure the government didn't try to, you know, call CPS and say they were, you know, not getting their kids back. So they lived in Europe for a long time. And then when they came back, you know, pretty much everything was done. And
once you're out of school, they can't really compel you to do that.
So. Right. And that's how it was when I met her. She had already, we met in the sixth grade and she hadn't been vaxxed. So, you know, usually by then you have all your shots. At least I know I had all mine by then. And she said that her mom had the one that scarred their arm. You remember that? You all used to see
older people? I'm pretty sure I had that.
Mm-hmm. Really? So that must have stopped like 2 years or a year before my sister was born, because she doesn't have it, but my cousins that are 1 year older than my sister had it.
And they were giving us that crap in school. I mean, the things they have been able to do to us without us for decades, without us really understanding what was going on is just, it's crazy. But we're waking up now. Don't try that mess now because we know better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So she said that her mother immediately started having all these health problems after she got vaccinated. So her mother said none of her kids were going to be on any type of vaccination. And she married a man who had never been, because he's from a whole nother country where they don't vaccinate.
You to put poison in your arm
right.
Every few months when you're a child.
Right. Right. So so she said that she's never been vaccinated and she didn't get COVID. She, you know, when the COVID first came out, she didn't get it, but she got it this time around. And she said it was felt like a cold. She said she tested positive because she went to the doctors because her throat was hurting. Her head was hurting. She said it was blinding, like the headache she had was blinding behind her eyes. She got tested. They were like, well, you tested positive for COVID. And, you know, we need to. When you come back, we need to vaccinate you, because they wanted, because you know they don't vaccinate you while the COVID is live, but they tell you to come back. She knew she wasn't coming back. She said 3 days later she was fine.
I've heard a couple people have had a 1 day, just everybody's getting sick. One of my cousins had a one night or 1 day virus where they had to use the bathroom excessively.
Couldn't
get out of bed. After a day it was over. The people in his house, my younger cousin, some of her children, like toddlers, got two after a day, they were fine. There appears to be a number of things going around right now where people are just getting sick.
And she's more like you. She does her herbs. You know what I mean? She drinks her tea. She does her herbs. She does her juices. And so everything she took to cure herself was all natural. There was never any Mucimex, any NyQuil. She didn't take any over this. She didn't even take an aspirin, I don't think. She just, you know, did her homeopathic stuff. So.
Well, we got to be careful because, I mean, I'm not going to start staying in the house, but.
She's definitely not staying in.
I am more concerned because there was a person coughing behind my back before I got sick. I turned my back on them thinking that would be a protection, but it wasn't enough. In the future, you don't get to be coughing around me. I'm getting up.
Well, that's how we got sick. We were boarding a plane and this man, Asian, clearly sneezed on Antoine. And I mean, hot chewed. And he walked out of the line. we were in security, and he said, I'm so sorry. And he walked out of the line, and I immediately thought SARS. I was like, oh God, I hope he didn't give us SARS. But he gave us COVID.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Well,
speaking of shutting things down, I guess they shut down Miami to exclude the Black folk from spring break.
They sure did.
It's primarily Black people.
Oh, during spring break? Yes. Last year, they did get out of hand. There was killings down there, and not just one. So there was some, you know, young people that lost their life from somebody who decided to bring a gun to the party, and unalive young Black men. And there were some attacks on some young Black women, I heard. But they made a campaign, commercials. They're everywhere saying, we divorce you. You come here, you're going to pay $100 in parking. Your food is going to be extra taxed. The hotels are through the roof. They just got a list of stuff that they're doing to deter people from coming. Now, do I think that's going to stop? No.
I heard about parking now that you mentioned that. I heard about mm-hmm. that parking piece.
Yep.
You think people are going to go anyway?
Oh, yeah. I think this resilient Gen Z, they want the smoke. I really do. They are that. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You ain't that. You ain't it. That ain't it. Yeah, but they are that. I really think it's going to be something that they wish maybe they had did more regulating instead of just saying, we don't want you here. You have messed up Miami. Y'all have come down here. I really think that they're going to show up in numbers. And I think the almighty dollar always wins. I think those stores are going to be like, come on now. This is thousands and hundreds of thousands of people have come. You think I'm going to turn away that dollar? They make so much money during that time of year. So the businesses.
Do you recall when they did something similar with Daytona Beach?
Oh, I remember that.
But it was white folk. Yeah. They used to rush Daytona Beach yep. and they worked. It didn't happen in 1 year, no. But over a period of several years, that place, that jurisdiction.
Remember, you could be on MTV. They used to have Daytona Beach Week where they would have concerts and everything. But you're right. It was more white folks than it was Black folks. And they gradually
got rid of it. Yeah. No. So maybe this is the first year for Miami. We will see. Yeah. I mean, it's important for people to go places and act like they have sense. We can be there, but we don't want to get murked. We don't want to get essayed. No. You know what I mean? We don't want any of those things happening. And when they start happening, I think that's what killed Freaknik, isn't it?
Oh, that's 100%. I didn't go that year that the regular people went, because before that, I tell everyone, it was all college. But you would ask, what college you go to, or what military base you were on. It was always someone doing something. But then the bums came, the people who never would want to go and do anything with their life. Of course, they always ruin it because they have no value system. You know, they don't have the 5-year plan. I want a family. I want to find this woman. I fall in love with her. The men come with no agenda other than just to make everybody else miserable. And so once I saw that, which was my last year, I was like, oh, I will not be back next year. And none of my friends went. We did not go that last year that it was filmed, that people were getting sexually assaulted on. And it's almost like the Puerto Rican Day Parade in New York. All of that got shut down because of this. I mean, that was brutal when that aired on TV. Women with their husbands was just being sexually assaulted, and the men, you know, were afraid to do anything because they were just, you know, beating up the, it was just so bad. And of course it was
Puerto Rican
brown people, and Black people.
See, I'm not a part of that. They're not a part of us. Brown, I mean, well, don't let me get started on that. But what I will say is that brown people never seem to want to join with us until it's time for us to help them fight some issue or whatever.
No
the
question.
Christians will tell you in a minute, I'm not Black.
And that Afro-Latino thing.
If you listen to the few Latinos that are willing to tell the truth, they'll tell you we discriminate against darker skinned people because of
even their own
that conquered us, right? And we progressively try to lighten our skin just like we still do, but not to that extreme. But I mean, so Black, brown, nothing. If it's a bunch of Puerto Ricans or brown people doing something, I still don't want to see them getting essayed and all that. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I don't consider that to be us. But in New York, Black I mean, you know, they do live together, so it probably did include both. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a downfall of that part of New York. But then, of course, New York has just been going downhill anyway. So pretty much everywhere we go to try to have a good time, there is just so much destruction. And I just can never figure out why can't we ever go. Not to skip the subject, but even I heard Carnival Cruises put out a list on their website. There will be no twerking. You know who twerks. There will be no twerking. There will be no marijuana smoking. There is this list, and it just spells black folks. If you're going to come on these cruises, you are not going to bring your blackness. And I just feel like, I'm like, oh my God.
I'm going to take a look at that. But
you
I
have to. And it said ratchet.
They want our money. I bet you they want our money. But I do agree that everywhere you go is not a place to be ratchet. Some places you need to level up and have some sophistication and savviness and have a good time. You don't have to get high everywhere you go. You don't even have to drink.
And you don't have to squat your cheeks everywhere you go.
Every restaurant. You're in a restaurant twerking for what?
I've seen
it. For what purpose? I've seen it too.
There's an amazing new restaurant in DC, and someone just posted it. And I love the fact that some two big burly men came and grabbed, because they have nice music. You know, we love to eat with music in a nice little ambiance, you know, dark room. Everything was beautiful, and they was playing some song, and she decides to get up and starts rapping and then twerk. And these two big burly men came and grabbed her. Threw her outside, said, we don't even want you in her table. They were like, you all can go too. And I was just so proud.
I think they should have put their hands on her, and they may be facing legal action.
Oh, they definitely probably will, because they didn't just put their hands on it. They threw her out. They threw her out, and then they told her party, if you don't want to get thrown out, you need to go with her too. You're not welcome here. And then they said the next week in the comments, they said that place had a line down the street and around the corner.
Everyday people are tired of that stuff. I mean, I will say that when you look at the African videos and pictures, and when you visit those countries, there is a form of a movement of the rear end that is traditional there, but it's not the graphic twerking, drop it, bust it open, all that stuff that they're doing here. And it's also contained to certain kind of ceremonies. Mm-hmm. You're not walking down the street.
Right. No. Right.
They just drop it. I mean, that's what's happening.
It never came across as sexual to me when they do it. You know,
it wasn't probably intended to be, but they have some big rear ends, so it can be.
I think you're right. It depends on the viewer, but I used to watch traditional African, you know, dances. It was just always amazing to me. I never looked at it like I wanted to cover my eyes in shame, but I do when I see United States females.
You know, that girl, Sukiyana.
Drop
down and started grinding on the ground on a red.
You didn't see Nicki Minaj just do it with the pole on stage? She just completely.
You know, the problem with Nicki is she doesn't really understand that she can be a bigger celebrity. She doesn't really have to engage in the things that Sexy Red and other people trying to come up are engaging in. But yes, she got on Twitter and had a big beef and all. She just does things that she really could walk in a way to say, you know, I'm royalty here. Yep. I'm above that. That rolls off my back. You people go ahead and engage in that. I'm not gonna, but she doesn't seem to.
No, she got down on the stage the other night and grind the stage and put her butt towards the audience. I was so disappointed in her. I said, wow. I understand bills got to get paid, boo, but at what point do you realize, like, enough is enough?
She's been doing that her whole career, and this isn't on our list, but now that we're talking about that, have you seen the number of performers who are out of shape, who are ill, who cannot dance or whatever anymore, that are still going on tour? And I'm like, look, get out of, I don't care. I don't want to see you looking broke down talking about, but 30 years ago is not now. But I tell you what, okay, I'm going to name some people. I'm just going to go ahead. Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown.
Cut it out. Looking like, one time I thought it was Cedric. And then I looked in the comments and people were like, is that Cedric the Entertainer? It was freaking Bobby Brown.
Busta Rhymes. You should have seen him fall off stage. He was so big and burly.
Oh, wow. Didn't he now get in shape now?
He did, but I seen him recently. It looked like he blew back up. Hopefully it was all
video. I will also say, this is a sad one. I would say that I saw a video of Anita Baker. Apparently she's had a stroke.
That must have been a stroke. And Martin Lawrence. Both of them must have had a stroke.
Her leg, and then her singing wasn't even really... And, you know, I don't want to talk about somebody that, see, it's one thing if you just let yourself go, but when you have an actual illness, but I do think...
Something was missing up here, too, with Anita when I was watching.
I think that you have to understand or have some people around you who say touring is not for you anymore.
Yeah, the nightclub. Maybe you need to just do little tiny, tiny nightclubs.
Maybe don't do any of that because people are looking for a certain quality that you used to bring to the table that you can't bring now. You know, another person who I know this will ruffle some feathers. Janet Jackson needs to give it up. Sitting up there doing hand movements is not what we want from you. And if you feel that you're too elderly to perform, you either need to get a new set of songs where you can sit on a stool or just cut it out.
She has that catalog where
she
can sit on a stool and really, you know, anytime, any place. Come on, you can sit on a stool and sing that.
I'm going to encourage her to bring that out and make it known. Hey, I'm going on tour, but this time I'm mellowing out. We're mature.
JV does that. He does little small jazz clubs, and it's just so intimate and so nice.
I've seen it record. I mean, I haven't seen him doing it in a long time, but I have seen a recording in the past.
It is very nice. He always puts on a great show.
You know who is killing the game? Chili. From TLC. I saw her on a video.
She's our age and looking like she's 12.
Like she was 32, hitting the move. Now, if you can keep yourself up like that, by all means, I'll buy a ticket. But I'm not going to buy a ticket and sit in the audience and reminisce about how great you used to be while I'm looking at how great you're not.
Absolutely.
But anyway, that's a little rant right there. So, in connection with that and with the spring break thing you were talking about, which I think we all see, how whenever Black people are overly celebrating, now I don't mean murdering people and essaying them. I mean, just maybe a little something got burned up or a lot of litter in the street. They would call it a riot and shut it down. But whenever white folk are celebrating after their
basketball, football, wins,
sports events, turning over cards. I mean, like all kinds of stuff.
They never ban it.
It gets glossed right over.
It gets celebrated. It's called "Look at them kids celebrating," and you're like, wait a minute now. It looks the same. It's almost like when the riots happen and they loot and steal. It gets they're surviving, but when they see us, they're like
they're looting and they're destroying. Yeah. That's just good old racist America. They're just racist and they constantly try to cast us in a light that makes us worse. But the reality is, and I know you've seen this and I know all our viewers have heard this, the most dangerous person on the face of this earth is the white male. They're the ones who have genocided people, destroyed communities, taken over resources and all of that, but they have somehow slickly managed to convince the world that Black people are so dangerous. Yeah. And if we're walking down the street, you need to cross and you need to grab your purse. And we do have our problems, but collectively, historically, even today, those people are the ones who are the most dangerous.
Yeah, I had my experience with feeling like, wow, you've been taught this at such a young age that I'm dangerous. Because I remember one time, you know, I used to love going to new homes that were just built and how, you know, see how they were decorated. And I would always take my children there. So, you know, they can inspire to want nicer things in life. And I just remember them being maybe like 10 and 12. And we walked into this one room and I remember the person who was, you know, showing us around the house, she jumped. I said, really, why'd you jump? And she's like, oh, I thought you locked the door. I said, but even if I did, am I gonna hurt you with my two kids here? I was like, oh, okay. I said, you know what? Thank you, we've seen enough of the house, but that was enough for me. And it just was like, wow, she was almost like the same age as me. And I just could not imagine if I saw a Caucasian woman with her two kids running around the house going, oh my God, this would be my bedroom. This would be my, and then you turn around because the door closes a little bit and you think, and you jump like that. Like it would never, she seriously thought like, and she was staring at me like in fear. I'm like,
and the problem it didn't just affect them. It sank into the brains of most of us.
Yeah.
So we see each other as a dangerous, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I
yeah.
I remember looking at teens when my son was living here and saying, that is not a dangerous young man. That is a young man like my son.
Yep.
Walking down the street.
Isn't that scary when you see a little corny dude like your own child and you think the world looks at him like a villain? You're like, he's the corniest guy out here. He wouldn't hurt a fly. Like, and you
he might be the coolest thing smoking, but what he isn't is a murderer, a thief, a robber,
right.
You know, a rapist. He's none of that. He may be looking fly or looking hip hop or.
But he's still a little cornball inside. He's not trying to do anything.
My kids are 90 cornballs. They're the finest thing ever, according to them. But
girl,
they're not going to do anything to you.
Right. Right.
They're not going to do anything to
my kids are so harmless. And that's what makes me so worried about the world we live in. I tell them all the time, I'm like, y'all are the corniest people in the world. And I swear it makes me sick knowing that this world labels y'all as everything
else. My kids are just the flyest thing ever. My daughter with her. And my son, they just are fly to me, but they're not what this country wants people to believe they are. Which is dangerous, or sexually promiscuous. They're not any of that, but we are pretty much out of time. I want to say, this is so on point. I want to give you a moment to talk about Nikki Haley, if you want.
Oh, she finally dropped out. I was reading today that she finally saying she's calling it quits after losing, you know, big time in South Carolina and then losing again today. And pretty much Trump had the whole Republican states covered. In red, he pretty much did. And then they're saying Joe Biden is going to lose against some dude that's just gotten a hat in the race in the Democratic Party, which I think they're just bringing this guy in like, look, Biden is not going to win. We need one other person. So I don't remember his name, but I wouldn't even
check that out because
point.
I need to check that out because I was really concerned that, and I think I mentioned that to you. I don't know if it was on here, but like the Democrats must just want to lose because nobody wants Joe Biden, who barely even seems to be mentally here. I mean, it's just, and who's allowed our country to be overwhelmed with immigrants.
You think we could ever get back on track with this overwhelming though?
Well,
unless they give them blanket, you know, they gave the Indians and the syphilis they gave us. That's the only way.
See, that's who the white folk are. That's who the dangerous people are. You kill off your whole friggin' tribe or race or whatever, because I wasn't even thinking about that till you said
it. I always think about that because that's the only thing I can think of. I mean, you asking them to join the military so you can kill them off that way, you know, send them over to seas to fight if they'll fight somebody else, because we were programmed. See, I think they forgot about how the programming started. We were programmed to be like, we're one, we fight each other, but we don't let anyone else mess with us. And it's like, nah, the other countries don't believe that. You know?
But I think they think that for the money that they will do it because they're so impoverished. So,
but the actual act of war is what I'm saying. I don't think they are programmed to fight for us when they don't have the history that we've had in this country. We're asking them, almost like what Muhammad Ali said, you're asking them to go unalive someone that did nothing to them. And our program, Black History Mind, when we fought side by side with, you know, the all the wars as far as Vietnam and all that, we were programmed to believe we need to stick together for a common good. They're like, we got our own country. We got a whole nother country.
They need to go back home to that country. But I think that short of being who white people historically are and killing them off, what can happen is massive deportations. And I was watching some.
But how are you going to gather, you know, 700,000?
That said that after the Cuban thing, where all those people came, there were so many deportations. So, I mean, yeah, there's so many of them, you literally could just start rounding them up. They're everywhere. And most of them are undocumented and don't have any
place. Who is the people that's gonna write? Like back then, our army was military on foot, was strong. I don't think it's that strong no more.
I think they could do it, but I think that it takes some determination. And I don't know. I don't think that the Democratic Party has any such desire, but we're out of time.
And we have so many more good topics.
We have a couple other things on our list, too, that we didn't get to. Uh-huh. So we look forward to rejoining you guys again next week. Thanks so much for joining us today. Please subscribe to our channel. Please like this video, drop a comment in the comment section. And thank you. We look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you for kicking it with Kim and Tora.